Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Safero.
Good afternoon.
How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Now, God the Father desires to have a relationship with each one of us. He loves His children with an everlasting love, and He wants to spend time with each one of us. Now, imagine the God of the universe who doesn't just want to know, or us want to know about Him, but actually wants us to know Him in particular. Now, Pastor, how does God the Father relate to His children?
Yeah. When you go into the Bible, in fact, throughout Scripture, we learn that God is very relational and loves connection with His children. In the very book of Beginnings, we are introduced to this God, a God who, when Adam and Eve have sinned, they have disobeyed His very explicit instruction of not eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. He when they disobey, He doesn't reject them. He doesn't disown them, but He is the one who actually initiates the relationship. He's the one who goes to where they are, and He asks them, Adam, where are you? You know, and after asking all of this, and after the whole conversation, the Bible tells us that, and God clothed them with animal skin, when they themselves had clothed themselves with leaves. You know, so we see that this God reveals Himself. He comes close to us. He finds us out where we are. He wants to be in that intimate and close relationship with Him. He wants us to be able to come to Him for forgiveness, for help in our times of need, for strength when we are feeling weak, you know.
Yeah, very, very important there. Now, tell me, this one is one that we always discuss about in corners, groups, etc. Are we all His children automatically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, someone once put it this way, that we are all God's people by creation. But we become His children through redemption, through accepting Him and allowing ourselves to enter into this relationship. Building off of the point that I just made previously, that, you know, God comes to us, God finds us out where we are, He invites us into relationship, but we then have a choice to accept or reject that offer. So I believe that, therefore, with that being said, we are not then we are not all children of God. We may be people of God by creation, but not all of us are children of God, because it is only those that have accepted Him as a father. And when you have a father, and you relate with Him as a father, you are obedient to that father. You take instruction from that father. You heed His voice. Yeah.
Does it mean that He has favorites?
No. Saying that God loves us, or rather saying that God has children, and some of us are just merely His people by creation, or by creation, does not then mean that these ones that then identify as His children are His favorite. You know, I know youths, and I've seen this trend all over social media, where someone would say, you know, Dingu God's favorite, you know. Why? Because things are going well in life and things are just making sense. But really, God does not have favorites. God loves his children. The Bible tells us that, in fact, he loves all the world. We may enjoy a special relationship with him, and we may enjoy, or we may receive, rather let me use that word, we may receive some things that maybe others do not have it at certain points in life, but that does not then mean that one is more loved and more special in God's sight because God therefore is a father with partiality. No, I think that then rests on how we respond to his love and how we choose to relate with him.
Yeah.
And not any the bias or partiality on his part.
Now, another one, and this one may be confusing to a lot of people. How do we approach him then as our father? Do we do so as we do our earthly fathers? How do we approach him?
The Bible, there's an invitation, or rather a charge, that we find in the book of Hebrews. The Bible there tells us, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6. Is that verse 16? It says, let us mercy and find grace in the time of need. God invites us to come into his presence with boldness, not boldness in the sense of arrogance, but boldness in the sense of confidence that when we come to him, desiring to be in relationship with him, he will accept us, he will receive us. You know, so you know how we relate with, like, I think I made this point the other day, that, you know, some of us have estranged relationships with our earthly fathers. And because of that estrangement, we have a distorted view or idea of what a father is. But even ideally on earth, even an earthly father, you approach him in love, you approach him in reverence, or rather in respect, because you understand that he is an authority, an authoritative figure in the household, one who shepherds the household, who leads you, who guides you, who supports you, who motivates you. You know, so even so, our Heavenly Father, in fact, even much more, our Heavenly Father, who we approach knowing that he's a father who cares. He's a father who hears us when we cry to him. He will strengthen us. He will guide us. He will shield us from whatever harm or hurt that comes our way. Now, the problem comes in when we want to relate a Heavenly Father with our earthly fathers, who may not be doing the ideal thing that a father should be and what a father should really be doing.
Very important, by the way, because, you know, how we relate to our fathers and how we approach our fathers could actually, determine and influence, our relationship with God. Do you think it could negatively, our relationship with our fathers could negatively impact on our relationship with our Heavenly Father?
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, imagine this with me. An individual does not have any relationship and does not have a fatherly figure in their life, and now they are told to humble themselves before this figure that is now a father. And when they think father, they think abuse. When they think father, they think neglect. When they think father, they think all of these negative characteristics. You know, so it could, to an extent, But as we draw closer to God, and as we learn more about God, I think it heals us. It has the ability to heal us and help us understand, and maybe even get to a point where we could reconcile with our earthly fathers, or be at peace with their absence, and be able to release them, because some grow up with grudges of not having earthly fathers, or even if they are alive, they grow up with so much anger towards them. But as you draw closer to your Heavenly Father, He could actually, help us now reconnect and heal from those traumas.
Now, actually, that's actually very important that you mentioned that. Thank you so much for that. Now, I normally hear people, when we're approaching God, whether we're in churches, synagogues, etc., but they say, no, you come as you are. It really doesn't matter how you come to Him, as long as you just come, but come as you are. Do we truly, as believers and as Christians who already have a relationship with God, come as we are in any manner that we deem fit?
There exists a fine line there, because come as you are, sometimes we then take it as license to lead unruly lives, do as we please, and think that we can get away with it. Because remember the other day when we were mentioning the characteristics of God, we said He is a loving, a compassionate, a long-suffering God. He is also a just God. He's a God of justice, love and justice. In fact, is what is being discussed in the Seventh Adventist Church in their study guide. That God is loving. Yes, He accepts us. However, He's a just God, and He does not then, in His acceptance of us, does not expect us to remain the same. And building on that, come as you are does not then mean, because we understand that when we get into God's presence, we get into the presence of a holy being, and therefore reverence in all manners, or in all its facets, has to be applied in our approaching God.
And so there's a scripture that says, "Fear God and give Him glory." I believe, our Father in heaven. What does it mean? Should we then fear Him?
That speaks to the very point that I was just alluding to now. The Bible says, fear God and give glory to Him.
Yes.
It does not then mean we ought to be terrified of God. It does not mean we have to run away from the presence of this God, but it just simply calls us to reverence even as we approach God. Because, let's maybe take an example of our earthly fathers. For those of us who have a good relationship with our earthly fathers, we may be able to laugh with our fathers, we may be able to even joke with them, make a joke, take a joke from them, but we are... My father, the extent to which I can... However, I still know that he's my father, and there are limits in my conversation with him. I do not cross certain boundaries with his father. I respect him when he came out to that, have respect.
Yeah.
To humble ourselves before him and worship him, because he's not just an earthly father. He is our heavenly father, whom we give all our allegiance to, whom we bow down to, Yeah.
Beautiful stuff there. Now, after all is said and done, we're talking about God, who is our Father. What is it that our listeners, ourselves, and general Christian population should think about when we think about God as our Father, as a parting shot?
Yeah, I think it is important for us to reflect upon. There's a prayer that is found in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Christ says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is done in heaven." You know, here is a relationship, or here is a communication between a child and their father. A child who realizes that they are in need of communion with their father,
mm-hmm.
And who realize that there is authority above me, and that is of the father, and that this father is the one who he desires good things for me. That is why he then says, "Let your will be done." You know why? Because the will of the father is not to hurt us, but to bless us and to do us good. So I think it is then important for all of us to desire to be in relationship with this Father, to desire to be led by this Father, and to desire to grow in relationship with Him, and that when we are led by Him, we be obedient to His biddings and His instructions, understanding that He has all but good plans for us, you know.
Beautiful one there. Thank you so much, my pastor. We are wishing you all the best for the weekend. May God bless you and be with you until we speak to you again.
Thank you, and may God bless you.
Lovely. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.